All right. For those of you that is here for the first time, or for those of you that is here for the first time in a while, I'm busy speaking on generational curses. I'm busy speaking on understanding actually, we're busy speaking on curses, how to understand curses, what to do with curses. We ask the question, are curses real? In fact, we haven't looked at this in a while, so I would like to go back to that, and I want to share something with you that is very, very important. Who of you have been in church the most part of your life? Come, in other words, you didn't just get saved yesterday. You've been in church for like 20 years or 30 years or something like that. Wave at me. Wave at me. All right. I've been in church pretty much my whole life. I grew up in a household where from a very young age, I was taught the Word of God. I went to Sunday school. I went through the whole, you know, thing. I went to catechesis, whatever you call that in English. And I learned a lot of things. And I'm blessed by the things that I learned. I went to church every Sunday because it was expected. I can't say that I always wanted to be there, but I went there anyway. And I think I did learn a lot of things. In fact, I know I did learn a lot of things, but then I actually want to say this to you. I realized today that there was also an enormous amount of things that I did not learn. In fact, there was a lot of things that I did not learn that today I know that I know that I know that every Christian should know. Because if you don't know these things, you are going to pick up problems. Can anybody tell me what Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says? Anybody? My people perish for lack of knowledge. My people. I want you to understand something. God's not talking about some prostitute that never goes to church. He's not talking about a pedophile that's never seen the inside of a church. He's not talking about some really bad person somewhere, some Satanist sitting in a pentagram calling on some stupid devil to come and give him power. God is talking about His people, and He says one of the greatest reasons why Christians feel or see that their lives are going nowhere. When I say to you something is perishing, what do I mean? It's slowly dying. I want you to look at the churches in your area. How many of you have noticed that there's a lot of churches slowly dying? Come on. This is hard facts. But in the area that I come from the south of Joburg, churches are closing down on a regular basis. In fact, a lot of the churches that used to be flourishing churches when I was a young man or young boy, today they are businesses. People have bought them. There's one beautiful church in my area. It used to be a thriving church. It used to be a pillar in the community. You know what it is today? A trucking company. The trucking company is very happy because the church had big grounds and it's got big buildings and it's got lots of offices, etc., etc. But how many of you know that that was not God's will for that church? Can I tell you one of the contributing factors to the church of Christ dying today and going nowhere is the fact that people still aren't being taught what God wants them to hear. You must understand one thing. When you come to this meeting, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm not interested in that. I have to tell you what you have to hear, even if it means you're going to be upset with me later. Because the Bible says the fear of man will be a snare unto you. I refuse to be afraid of you, or any one of you. Because the Bible says the moment I'm afraid of you, if I have more fear for you than I have for God, then I am falling into a pit. And guess what? I've been fighting my whole life to stay out of it. You're not going to get me back into it. I refuse to go there. And that means that I have to preach the truth. The pure truth, the whole truth. And as they say, nothing but the truth. And sometimes when you start preaching the truth to people, it upsets them and they stop coming. Well, guess what? Then you must stop coming. But the Word of God says the reason why people perish, slowly die, and have nothing to show is because of a lack of knowledge. Now, my people, where do you find them? Where do you find God's people on a Sunday? Yet they still have a lack of knowledge. In other words, that is a very bad reflection on a lot of the teachers. Yes, it was speaking of that time, but today I want to tell you something has not changed. Because we still have people sitting in church for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but they still have nothing to show for it. Guess what? There is still a lack of knowledge in the church. And can I tell you one of the main reasons why there is a lack of knowledge in the church? Because when you begin to preach the truth, people get upset. You know, Tani Pochenpool, she gives a lot of money every month. Highly upset with what the Dominee is preaching now. Do you know that in Jesus' day, the woman of influence put pressure on the disciples to be pushed away from certain cities? Satan will still today use men and women of influence to stop pastors, preachers, evangelists, etc. from preaching the word the way God wants them to. And that's a sad thing. Because the fear of man will be a snare unto you. And when the pastor falls into the pit, the congregation falls into the same pit. That's not a good place for you to be. That's when you notice that your life stands still. In fact, it doesn't just stand still, it starts going backwards. Year after year after year, you have nothing to show for it. There is nothing. Now let's get one thing straight. What God says, the thing that will, what is the opposite of perish? I will call it abundant life. Isn't that what Jesus came for? Jesus says the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now I want to touch on something that's very important. When we begin to speak about things like generational curses or devils or demons, or let's ask the question, can a Christian have a demon? There's a couple of you here, you're nodding yes, because you've been to my meetings and you see what happens when we pray for people. But if you hadn't come to this meeting and you hadn't seen it with your own eyes 6 months ago, you would have argued with me and said, oh, but that's impossible. Do you know how many times people come and fight with me about this one? Yeah, but Rian, you're a false prophet because you say Christians can have demons. Now, I don't say it. I see it with my own two eyes. And the Bible says the same thing. Listen to me very carefully. Isn't it your Bible that says to you, give the devil no place? Raise your hands if you've seen that somewhere in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's verse 25. Give the devil no place. The Satanist doesn't read that. Yes, he has a Bible. He likes to burn the pages, not read them. He likes to do stupid and disgusting things with that Bible. He doesn't read it. He's not interested in the knowledge there, but that knowledge is going to be speaking to you. If the Word of God warns you not to give the devil place, then one thing you have to understand, it is possible for you to give the devil place. And there are a lot of Christians who battle because they have given the devil place, but nobody teaches them that it needs to be sorted out and dealt with. You know, there is this really popular Christian myth that once you get saved, everything is supposed to be perfect in your life. Please raise your hands if your life is perfect right now. Then I'm very glad you came to church tonight. Probably you need it. Your life does not become perfect when you come to church, when you come to Christ, when you give your life to the Lord, but you receive the potential to start dealing with the problem if you accept it and you use it. I know that I've shared this with you before, but I want to share it again because it brings it across in a way that will make sense to you. John chapter 3 verse 16 says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give his life so that you and you and you and I will not perish but have eternal life. Amen. Okay, now quickly, let's ask this question. For God so loved the world, all inclusive. South Africa, Africa, Australia. Yes, even the New Zealanders have a chance, believe it or not. Portugal, India, Russia, America. What am I missing? Where? What? Greece. Yeah, even the Greece have a chance. Praise God. Georgie, are you happy or what? You blessed. Pops agrees with us, eh? For God so loved the world, all inclusive, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, Portuguese, Afrikaans, Englishman, black, white, brown, there is nobody excluded. That whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now, question. Jesus came, Jesus gave his life, Jesus conquered Satan. Abundant life is available to everybody. Is everybody saved? Yes or no? No. Why not? He's already died, hasn't he? He's already conquered Satan, hasn't he? Because it is only when you take what he's done for you and make it your own and apply it, appropriate it, that you get to experience the benefit of salvation. Even though salvation is available to every person that is still breathing in this world, there are people dying and going to hell right now because they've never taken it and made it their own. And there could be a lot of reasons for that. A lot of them, they've heard the word of God many, many times, but they are very clever. They rejected it. Some of them, they were just stubborn. Whenever somebody wanted to share the word of God with them, it's not for me. It's not for me to say why. But the fact of the matter is, everybody can be saved right now, even your mother-in-law. Everybody. But not everybody is saved. Now let's bring it home. Everybody has the right to be set free from whatever curse or devil is working in their life. But just like salvation is conditional, so the deliverance from demons is conditional. Because you first have to receive the truth and allow the truth to set you free. You see, people enter into salvation when they receive the truth about salvation. They receive it. They make it their own. And they put their faith in it. But our churches are full of people that have never either received the truth about demons, devils, and curses, or they are very clever. It's like, oh, but that stuff doesn't touch me. My people are dying or perishing for a lack of knowledge. Not for lack of going to church, because you are already my people, but because even though you go to church, you still don't receive the right knowledge. People say things like, oh, but I'm a Christian. Christians can't have demons. Let me help you to understand how this works. If you have an apple, and that apple has a rotten spot, does that make the whole apple rotten? No. There's one tiny spot that's rotten. Can you still do something with the rest of the apple? Yes, for sure you can. Now, Christians having demons is something similar to that. There's a tiny area in your life, be it your temper, or be it fear, or be it rejection, or be it fright or terror, or whatever the case might be, that has been touched by this rubbish. But that doesn't make the whole person bad. And whereas you can't do nothing for the apple, you can do something about yourself. You can actually get rid of the rotten spots if you accept the truth that the Word of God teaches us. Let me actually show you what Jesus sent the disciples out to do. It's a good thing for us to look at these things just now and then, to give us a bit of a recap. There are three places where Jesus sends the disciples out to go and preach the gospel. Who can tell me where that is? You all bunked that day in Sunday school, didn't you? I want to see you all for prayer afterwards. You're right. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 10, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Right, now quickly stop there. What is the very first thing that Jesus does when he calls the disciples to send them out on their own? He gives them authority over evil spirits to drive them out. If Jesus never expected the disciples to encounter any evil spirits, why waste that authority? Why waste that power? You see, Jesus knows one thing that a lot of pastors today have forgotten. The devil is very, very busy. And I want to tell you something, whether you like it or not, my friend, he's been busy in your life for a long time. Some of you, the thief has robbed you blind. You've got very little left. But I've got some good news for you. Because Jesus did say, John 10:10, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. If you don't deal with the thief, you will never have abundant life. There's a lot of Christians sitting in church claiming and prophesying and proclaiming abundant life, and they will never have it because they never deal with the thief. If you allow a thief to come into your house, I'm talking about your house at home. I want you to picture your house. Let's say a thief manages to get in there. You get in there and you see, ooh, I've been robbed. You lock all the doors quickly, but the thief is actually hiding in the bedroom. Are you safe? Yes or no? No. You see, that's what a lot of Christians do. They realize they got a problem. They run to the church, but they never deal with the thief. They just pray that God will begin to bless them again. Let me tell you something about God. God does not want to waste His blessings. The blessings of God are for you, not for the thief. There are many of you sitting here. Listen to me very carefully, because I believe God is speaking to you. You are destined to be blessed. You are destined to be prosperous. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Look at your neighbor and say, that's for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. But God can't do that for you right now because there's too many thieves in your life. Listen to me. If I know that he has a drug problem, let's just make this real. I'm not speaking anything over you, and I'll cut this off when I'm finished. But let's say that he has a drug problem and I want to give him R1,000. Should I give it to him now? Why not? Because he's going to run to his pusher quick. And the 100 or the 1,000 is going to go into some other thief's pocket and he will never see it. So what do we need to do first? We need to get him clean of all that rubbish, and then we can bless him so that he can take his life and go forward with it. Now listen to me. If you have the common sense not to give money to a druggie, God has the common sense not to give you big blessings when the thief is living with you. Because God doesn't want to make the devil rich. God doesn't want to give the devil health. God doesn't want to give the devil prosperity or some stupid demon, a spirit of witchcraft or sorcery. God wants to bless you. You know, the church is full of people that pray and pray and pray and pray. Oh, Lord, bless me. Oh, Lord, change my life. Oh, Lord, give me prosperity. Oh, Lord, take me forward. God says, just get rid of the thief, please. I've heard all your prayers. I feel your pain. I want to bless you. Look at what I've got lined up for you. Just get rid of the thief, and I'll give it all to you. It's time for us to deal with the thief. It's time for us to get rid of the thief. Actually, I want to share with you something that happened to me Friday. Oh, I had a very interesting day on Friday. To be honest with you, I have a very interesting life. I love my life. I'm extremely blessed. For those of you that don't know, I live a supernatural life. In my life, I never know what's going to happen next. I never know what's around the corner, and I wouldn't have it any other way. It's interesting. It keeps me on my toes. It blesses me. It's challenging sometimes, but it's an amazing life. So there's this couple that come to see me. It's a mother and a daughter. They got my number from a pastor's friend of mine. So they come and they sit there and they tell me their story. My computer is on the dining room table because I was busy working before they came. While they're talking to me, I've got the two Fatimas there as well. Auntie 1 and Auntie 2 are there. I'm busy chatting to these people. And the next moment, this demonic scream comes out of my computer. We all bounce that high. I look at the two ladies, I say, what, did you bring some of your ho-hos with or something? In a way, I was joking, but in a way, I was very serious because this is not right. You know, something, yeah, is not right. I get up, I walk to the computer, there was some programs open, I close it. I go and I sit down. 2 minutes later, the same type of scream, like a demonic moaning and wailing comes through the computer. I thought, no, man, this can't be happening. It happened 3 times. I went and I switched the computer off. But I knew what I knew. Something is not right here. To make a long story short, these ladies begin to share this with me. The old woman was born with a cord. In Afrikaans, we say, met die helm gebore. Which simply means that there has been spiritism in that family for donkey's years. They have second sight. They have intimate knowledge of future events that they shouldn't have. Not the good things. They know when somebody's going to die. They know when there's going to be an accident. They know when there's going to be big problems. And they live their lives in fear. The problem is that this woman, when she was born, her mother and her grandmother told her that this is a wonderful gift. And she is so special because she's got this gift. And she must always protect it and she must always thank God for it. Which is ridiculous because it's a demon, it's not a gift. And so she grew up entertaining this demon. And when her daughter was born, the daughter grew up entertaining this demon. They had the strangest things happening in their house as long as they can remember. Yes. And let's just put this out there. The two of them come there with a list of infirmities and sickness between them, a whole page full. And they go from doctor to doctor and they can't find a cure. The woman has got problems all over her body. She keeps going from doctor to doctor to specialist. Everybody comes up with this or that, but nobody can tell her what is exactly wrong with her. Everybody is treating the symptom. Nobody can understand the cause. So for the last, I think, 8 or 9 years, she's been in a total state. We get to the point that we start praying. Oh, guess what happens? A huge big chocho pops. He tells me his name. I forget the name, but that's not really all that serious. He's been there, I think it was 4 generations. How many? 3 or 4 generations. He's been in the same family. That's what you call a family curse. You see, because this whole medialam gebore, this born with a cord thing, this gift of second sight, this gift of spiritism has been there for 4 or how many ever generations. And everybody's happy to receive it. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You know the mother, she's probably in her late 70s, early 80s. When I spoke to her about this thing, explaining to her that it is demonic, she told me it's the first time in her life anybody has ever told her that there's something wrong with this gift. Now, personally, I think she should have figured out that there's a problem because they got chochos moving around in their house the whole time. But the fact of the matter is the church that they attend never said a word to them. Nobody that they ever spoke to in church circles ever said a word to them. And they grew up thinking that that's normal. The woman was telling me that she would be asleep at night and she would have a book by her. And then when she wakes up in the morning, the book is shoved under the carpet, under the bed. You know, stupid things like that would happen. Television goes on and off during the middle of the night. Electronic appliances just switching themselves on. Doors opening and closing. Things happening. These things are real. The thing would come and sit on her in the middle of the night and suffocate her that she can't breathe. These things are real. It had been there for 4 generations. You want to tell me there's no such a thing as a generational curse? I beg to differ. Generational curses are real. You see, the reason why they keep going from one person to the next person to the next person is because nobody ever does anything about it. Everything that we need is available to us to be set free from the works of darkness. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now I want you to listen to me carefully. Jesus came. One of the express reasons why Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil. But just like salvation is something you must apply, so his victory is something you must apply. If you never apply it, you will never have the benefit thereof. These two women that I'm talking to you about now grew up in the church. They went to church. They should have known the truth, but nobody told them. And then it left them. Amen? Then it left them. She actually felt how this thing came out of her. She felt how this thing came out of her body, almost like it came out of her blood. And she felt how it pulled out of her when it left. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Has that changed? No. Let's get back to the scripture. Matthew chapter 10. He called his 12 disciples to them and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. Please raise your hands if you consider yourself to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of you come and see me for a prayer of salvation afterwards. Listen to this. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sickness. When Jesus calls you, Jesus equips you. Listen to me. Maybe nobody ever told you this, but you are equipped to deal with the works of darkness. You might just not have the knowledge how to do it. If somebody was to give you the knowledge of how to do it and you put it into practice, you might be shocked because, wow, something just happened. Therefore, it's time for you to hear the truth. Listen to me carefully, man. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How do you expect to be free if you refuse to receive the truth? I can't tell you how many times I've had people come and fight with me about this whole Christian can have demons thing, and then they will not even listen to the truth. It's like, that's rubbish. I will not listen to this. It can't happen. I serve a God of love and He will never allow that. Well, if it makes you sleep better at night, what can I say? But probably that person does not sleep at night. Probably that person has a lot of problems and a lot of issues. Probably their psychiatrist is explaining it to them in a different way. Let me tell you one thing. If you've given the devil place, he will rob you. Your peace, your joy, your hope, your sanity, your sleep, your life. He will rob you. Now let's look at this. In verse 2, he gives the name of the 12 disciples. I don't want to go there. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Now, the Gentiles and the Samaritans of those days were seen as the unbelievers. So he says to them, do not go to the unbelievers. And then he says, but go you rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach this message. This is the message I have to preach to you. Listen. Preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons. What does God, what did Jesus want the church to know? The following. Verse 7. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Tonight I want to say to you that the kingdom of God is here. I don't care whether you believe it or not, I believe it. Because I see it. The kingdom of God is here, and the kingdom of God is a supernatural place. I don't care what your problem is. The kingdom of God has the solution. Don't talk to me about interest rates. Don't talk to me about petrol price. I don't care. The kingdom of God has the answer. The kingdom of God can deal with any problem. Don't tell me what your blood count is or isn't. Don't tell me about your insulin levels. I'm not interested. The kingdom of God is here. The solution is here. Amen? Now that's very important. Because you see, in this world, we use natural substances to try and deal with what is often supernatural problems. And that's why we get no solutions. But the good news is that you don't just need to use natural substances like popping a pillicky or whatever the case might be to deal with your problem when the healer is in the house. What's his name?
Jesus.
Does anybody believe that Jesus is in the house?
Yes.
Well, bless God. He is. Come here quickly. Auntie, you too, please. Yes. Okay, you stand here for me. You come and stand here for me. Okay, now you turn around and face her. You just stand behind her there for me, please. Jesus is in the house. The healer is in the house. The deliverer is in the house. The restorer is in the house. The conqueror is in the house. I believe it. Take her hands. All you do is just say, Jesus, please touch her. Amen. Keep her hands, keep her hands, keep her hands, keep her hands. Oops. Okay, now some of you are sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, oh, but they practiced that before. You think so? All right. Here's a big man. Come here quickly. Listen here, don't hit me, please. I just want to do a demonstration. Come here. I want to show you something. Let's see what happens to a big man when you push him around. Don't hit me, eh? You see, when I push him, he pushes back. Now I'm going to show you what a little lady does to a big man when Jesus is with her. Come here, please. Take his hands. Ask Jesus to touch him. Ooh. Amen. Jesus is in the house. Do your hands feel funny? Oh, you feel fire? Okay, wait. Let's not waste that fire. Come here. Stand there for me, please. Raise your hands. Did you come? You came here tonight for a reason. You know what it is. Right. Come. Touch him. In Jesus' name. You will have it. Praise you, Lord. Okay. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. What should be happening in the church today? Well, first of all, we should heal the sick. We should cleanse the leper. We should raise the dead. Now, I can't raise any dead people here tonight because you all seem to be breathing. But I can tell you what we can do. We can deal with dead religion. You know, one of the reasons why a lot of people battle to go forward is because you put your faith in dead religion. And religion is something man made up. Religion can't save you. A relationship with Jesus is the only thing that will save you. Amen? So maybe tonight, a lot of dead religious thinking needs to get out of you and make way for God to start working in your life the way that He wants to. Amen? Let's look at the second place where Jesus commissioned disciples to go. I'm going to go to the book of Luke chapter 10. I want to show you what He had to say there. After this, the Lord appointed another 72 others, and He sent them out two by two ahead of Him to every town and place that He was about to go. I actually want to say something about that. The Lord appointed another 72, and He sent them out two by two. Why did Jesus send the disciples out two by two? Why did Jesus send the disciples out two by two? Because you're always going to need somebody. Listen to me carefully. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how courageous you are. I don't care how anointed you believe yourself to be. In the kingdom of God, you are always going to need other people. Because if you don't need other people, you are full of pride. And then I want to tell you one thing. Satan is running the show, not God. God sends us out two by two because it is a difficult road. And now and then you are going to fall, and then the other one can pick you back up. But if you insist on being alone, you will fall one day and there will be nobody to pick you up, and then you're going to have problems. Now I want to show you another reason why we go out two by two. Just get up for me quickly. I want you to stand this side. I want you to face that wall. Yeah, that wall. And then I'm going to just stand this side. Now, what do you notice when you look at the two of us now? I've got his back and he's got mine. And if something comes from all around to fight us, then I cover this 180 degrees and he covers that 180 degrees. Yet if I move away from him, for whatever reason, I can still fight, but now I'm vulnerable. Because if he was a chocho, come and stab me in the back quickly. You see, I'm busy fighting off things, yeah, left, right, center, but my flank is exposed and I'm going to get hurt. This is very important. Spiritual warfare 101. You don't go alone. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed another 72 others, and he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place he was about to go. Now, he doesn't say much about what they're supposed to do, but when they come back, we get an insight into what he commanded them to do. They had to go and deal with the works of the devil two by two. Listen to this. Verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons were submitted to us in your name. When they went out, what did he tell them in Matthew 10? Preach the kingdom. What is part of preaching the kingdom? Set the captives free. When you preach the kingdom, captives will be set free. Amen? Part of the kingdom message is salvation. Part of the kingdom message is healing. And part of the kingdom message is deliverance. Today, one of the problems we have is we preach salvation, but we don't touch on the other two areas. And one of the reasons why a lot of people don't stay in their salvation is because even though they accept Christ to start off with, then all the demons in their life rear up and begin to pull them back to their old life. And we are supposed to deal with that. We're supposed to destroy the power of darkness, but we don't do it. So when they came back, they said the following, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. I want you to listen to this carefully. I'm going to read it again. Look at your neighbor and say, record this. Do you know how to record things? Take your finger. Don't push it up your nose. I know it wants to go there, but fight that urge, please. Take your index finger, push it up your right ear, twist anti-clockwise. You've just started your recorder. It's going to work. Promise you. You'll remember. I'm only joking, but now you will actually remember this. All right. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you, look at your neighbor and say, that is you, the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions. Is he talking about puff adders and vipers and, who have you ever watched, the guy from, the Crocodile Hunter? He passed away now, but he was quite interesting to watch when he was still alive. Did you ever watch him? He once came to South Africa and he had a special on what he referred to as the boom slang. Did you ever see that? There's a boom slang for the van julle wat weet nie. But apparently in Australia it's called a boom slang. So, is he talking about trampling on puff adders, on vipers, on things like that? Rattlesnakes? If you go jump on a snake and he bites you, don't blame me. Because that's not what he's talking about. The serpents and the scorpions that Jesus is talking about is evil spirits. Evil spirits in the Bible is depicted as serpents and scorpions. And the Bible says when they come for you, don't run away from them. Trample them. A lot of Christians run away from them and then they bite you in your heel. They sink their teeth into you, they fill you with venom, and they slowly kill you. The biblical way to deal with demons is not turn around and run. The biblical way to deal with demons is stand and fight. I know you've probably heard me say this before, but before I did my own meetings, I used to go to churches, from church to church. I am an evangelist more than what I am a pastor. And I used to get invitations to go to churches, and I used to go there and I used to preach the message. And because I am actually an evangelist, I would call people forward for prayer. And in some of the churches where I preached, that was like the first time that they had ever been called to come forward to be prayed for. So these poor people had no idea what was waiting for them. But you must understand one thing, where I find a serpent and a scorpion, I'm going to jump on him. That's just the way it is. The Holy Spirit doesn't like the devil. Finished law. One of the titles of the Holy Spirit is called Ruach, and that means the warlike energy of God. When the Holy Spirit moves through the house of God and there is some chocho around, it is in trouble. So this church would invite me and I would go there and I call people forward for prayer. So these poor unsuspecting victims, volunteers would come forward for prayer. And normally either the first or the second one that I pray for, some huge big chocho would pop. I tell you what, the Dominee has never seen that church clear so quickly. Like, within seconds, you just hear Bibles drop. It looks like the rapture. I tell you, there's some old ladies, they didn't know they could run that fast. They had a new lease on life that day. And the next thing you know, the church is like empty. Well, what do? You pray for the one on the floor and you go home. But you see, here's the problem. The gospel of the kingdom includes deliverance from demons. Yet the church doesn't want us to set them free. How stupid is that? We're supposed to set the captives free. That's why Jesus came. He equipped us. I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. If I have that authority, I'm supposed to use it. The funny thing is today, when you use that authority in the church, they call you a witch doctor. They call you a false prophet. That doesn't really surprise me, because the church didn't really accept Jesus either, did they? No. They referred to him as the Antichrist. It's so amazing how the very body that Jesus gave his life for, that rejected him all those years ago, still rejects today in a lot of ways what he came to do for them. You know, it's an amazing thing, but I have seen people that are riddled with sickness, infirmity, and disease. And when you talk to them about the reality and the existence of evil spirits, they spit in your face. Don't you say that to me. I serve a God of love. He will never allow that. I actually want to share an interesting experience that I had. A gentleman asked me to go and pray for a friend of his. I went there to go and pray for this friend. The friend and his wife sat there. Now, before I pray for people, I normally share with them what the Bible says about healing, what the Bible says about deliverance, about the devil, about curses, etc., etc. I find that that's the right way to do it, because Jesus never just laid hands on people and prayed for them. He preached the word, and as an extension of his preaching, he would lay hands on people and the power of God would touch them. And I like to do it the way he did it. So I came there and I sat down and I started sharing with them the gospel of the kingdom, which includes deliverance and healing. The more I was talking, the more this woman started getting upset. I could see that she did not like what I had to say. I was talking about how evil spirits can sometimes cause sickness. Now let me just say that this man had a very rare infirmity. Apparently, there is only about 20 people in South Africa that have this condition. I can't remember the name, but he got severe headaches. The power of these headaches was so bad that sometimes it could put him out for 3 weeks, that he could do nothing. He had a serious problem. He needed a solution. Please look at your neighbor and say, "That's Jesus." Here's the thing. I explain these things. The husband and the wife are both sitting there. Both of them are listening to what I'm talking about. The husband keeps nodding his head, yes, yes, yes. The wife keeps shaking her head, no, no, no. You see, the husband has no problem with what I'm saying, because he has a problem and he wants it to go away. The wife is not sitting with the same problem, and she's got a lot of pride. Because you see, now at the next cook and tear, she's going to have to go and admit that her husband had a demon. And apparently that's going to go down very bad in her social circle. The next thing, this woman is fighting with me. How dare I say that her husband has demons? I said to her, "Ma'am, I'm not saying that he has demons, but I want to open you up to the reality that they exist and that there is a chance that one of them might be messing with your husband." Please understand one thing. When we cast a demon out of you, it doesn't mean that you were possessed. The word possession implies ownership, man. Would you really agree with me that the devil owns you? No, God owns you. But that area of your life was affected by some evil spirit. Influenced is a good word. So yeah, we have a stalemate, because this woman doesn't want me to pray for her husband, because she refuses to believe that her husband has demons. We settled that very quickly. I said to the husband, "Do you want me to pray for you, yes or no?" He said, "Yes." Case closed. The wife went out in a fit of temper. She quit a tantrum somewhere. So I sat and I spoke to the man a little bit more and I said to him, listen, I'm going to pray for you now. And I am going to be treating this as an evil spirit. I'm going to command it to leave. Do you want it to go? He said, yes. I led him in a prayer of renunciation. He renounced the power of any evil spirit that had come upon his life, upon his bloodline, any generational curse that there might be. He confessed a couple of things to God. I said, in the name of Jesus, leave. In a second, he started having the exact same symptoms that he would normally have when this disease comes. Now, the disease works in a certain time frame. It'll hit you and then it'll stay away for a certain amount of time and then it'll hit you again. And you can actually work out in what cycle this disease works. And when it hit him that night when I prayed for him, it was nowhere near the next cycle. Which freaked both him and his wife and the friend out because like, ooh, why is this happening? I said, I know why this is happening. Because this is not a disease, this is a demon. Guess what? The demon that he didn't have came coughing and vomiting out. Guess what? There's now 19 people in the country that have that problem. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Then his wife comes in, all sheepish, and apologizes for her attitude. Let me tell you one thing, she's not unique. That's how some people are. It doesn't matter that it's in black and white in the Bible. That doesn't conform to their view of God. Your view and your experience of God better be based on biblical fact. Not what you think. Not what you hope. Not what you dream. Is it there in black and white? Yes or no? If it's not, you better put your faith in what the Bible says. There are too many people that have made up their own minds about how God works, about how the kingdom of God is supposed to work. Get your facts from the Word and your life will go forward. There's one last place that I want to take you to. It comes from the book of Mark. I read you verse, Mark chapter 16 and I read you verse 15. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. What is the good news? Somebody help me. We found the good news in the book of Matthew chapter 10. What is the good news? The good news is the message of the gospel. And the message of the gospel is the sick can be healed. Those that are influenced by demons and evil spirits can be set free. And salvation is yours. Amen. Okay, now look at this. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Look at your neighbor and say, the gospel is good news. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. These signs will accompany those who believe. Don't look at your neighbor now. Look at me. Do you believe? Do you believe, Louis? What do you believe? Do you believe that Manchester is going to win the next match? You're probably wrong there as well. Okay. That's a very open-ended question. Those who believe. Now, what is it that you're supposed to believe here? Let me give you an example. The only thing that God wants you to believe here is Jesus is the Son of God. He came to earth to give his life as a sacrifice on your and my behalf so that we should not perish but have eternal life. In the process, he conquered Satan, every devil, every demon, every curse, every principality, every power, every ruler of the darkness of this age. There is nothing in Satan's kingdom that is not under the feet of Jesus Christ right now. Amen. He went down to hell. He had it out with the devil, with Beelzebub, with death and Hades, with Gog and Magog and all the big devils in Satan's kingdom. He sorted them out and he took the keys. He took the captives with him and he went back up to God. And in the process, he purchased salvation, healing, restoration, deliverance, victory for you and you and you and you and you and me. Praise God. So when I ask you, what do you believe? What do you believe? Say what he said. That's what you should believe. Now listen to this. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Now, if you believe what I just shared with you, raise your hands. Praise God. Now, this is for you. Did you say that you believe? Look at this. In my name, they will drive out demons. In my name, young lady sitting right there at the back. Yes. Come forward, please. I notice that you're not sleeping. Right, stand here. You believe, right? Do you want to be free? Do you want to sleep tonight? Yes. Yeah, later. You can't sleep now. Don't get clever. All right. Okay, face the people. Does he look to you like a believer? I want to say to you, appearances could be deceiving, but not in this case. All right. You are a believer. And the Bible says, because he believes, what will happen? In the name of Jesus, he will cast out demons. All right. Now, here we have a young lady that's got a serious problem. You haven't slept in how long? In over 40 hours. That's a big problem. You got a whole bunch of devils giving you a hard time, right? You got a demonic football match going on in your head right now. All right. We're going to give them all a red card. How's that? Bless God. You're a believer? Sort out that devil. Take her in a prayer of salvation, a prayer of renunciation. You just say to her, in the name of Jesus, renounce everything.
In the name of restlessness, sleeplessness,
busyness,
tiredness,
hopelessness,
despair.
Despondency,
dejection,
destruction,
and death.
In the name and the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to leave this woman right now.
Don't fight me.
Go. No!
I'm not yet pointy. Get under my feet in Jesus' name.
Tell him to go.
Go in Jesus' name. I'm not going to ask you again.
Go!
Put your hand on her head. Command him to leave.
I command you in the name and the power and the authority of
Jesus Christ. Pull him out. Pull him out. Pull him out.
Come out.
Lie still.
Come out. Come out.
Lie still.
Come out.
Serves you right.
Somebody give the Lord a hand, please. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they shall drive out devils. Does the Bible lie? No, it doesn't. They will speak in new tongues. Amen. Now, listen to me. Biblical tongues is not the variation that you say when the taxi drives in front of you, right? It's completely different. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. I want to say to you again, the kingdom of God is in the house tonight. Amen. Somebody give God some glory. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. All right, I want to end off with this, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of his Spirit. I'm going to repeat it and then I'm going to say something about it. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus redeemed us from the curse. That is good news, my friend. If you are sitting here tonight and you are under any form of curse or generational curse or bloodline curse, then I want to say to you that the price has been paid in full for you to be free. No, man, smile. That's good news. Thank you. That's good news. You don't have to live under any curse any longer. But if you're going to have an attitude about it and say, but I don't have any curses, then you'll just have to live with it. Because you must first receive the truth before it can set you free. Do you think that Jesus would have given his life to redeem you from the curse if he didn't think that you would have one? Come on. You turning around and telling me that you got nothing is you turning around and telling Jesus he wasted his time because you don't need this. Now you see, that's why a lot of Christians will never be free, because they make what Jesus did for them into a ridicule. He gave his life on that cross because it was necessary to purchase your freedom. Don't toy with what he did for you. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Did you know that Jesus, in the way that he died, cursed himself? Because that was the only legal way to purchase your freedom. This is maybe going to be something new for many of you. But let me take you back to the way that Jesus died. John the Baptist was beheaded. They took a sword, they cut off his head. After Jesus died, a lot of the disciples were boiled in hot oil. Back in the day, because it was Roman rule, they used to take some of the disciples and some of the apostles, and they used to tie their hands and their feet to wild horses, and they would whip the horses until they pulled them apart. They took people to high cliffs, and they threw them off the cliffs so that they could fall to their death at the bottom. And once they tried to throw Jesus off a cliff, and the Bible says he walked through them like they were not there. Why? Because it wasn't his way to die. You see, there was only one way that Jesus could die that would appropriate victory for you and I from the curse. That is by dying a cursed death. Some of you might be aware of this and some of you are not. But the Bible says that if you died on a tree and the sun set, you would be cursed. The Hebrew word for tree and the Hebrew word for cross is the same word. Jesus died on a tree. The Bible says between the sixth hour and the ninth hour, while he was on the tree, the sun went dark. While the sun was dark, Jesus said these words, my Father, why have you forsaken me? What was it that caused the Father to turn his back on the child? It's called the curse. At that moment, the curse came upon Jesus. At that moment, the veil in the temple tore. At that moment, there was earthquakes all around the world. Why? Because the curse was breaking loose. You don't have to live under a curse any longer. Somebody did everything that is necessary for you to be free. Tonight, what you have to do is put your faith in what he's already done. Just like you put your faith in him to be saved, so you must put your faith in him to be free. And if you put your faith in him, you will be free. I'm not going to give you my guarantee. It means nothing. I give you his word. I came to set the captives free. I came to heal the brokenhearted. If you need to be free, you will be free. If you put your faith in him, he will not disappoint you. Doctors will disappoint you, but not Jesus. People will disappoint you, but not the Lord. Put your faith in him tonight. Trust him and see what God will do for you. Amen. Amen. Did anybody learn something tonight? Amen. Give the Lord a hand, please.